downwind, Arthur.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Your number on the 50-yard line. You were always a perfect one and a valedictorian. So under your number I wrote, "Call for a good time." I only wanted to get your attention, but you overlooked me somehow. Besides, you had too many boyfriends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now? I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married into money, girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone. And you get here, you cry down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing. Who could that be singing? It's me, baby. Would you wake up call? How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on The Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
Well,
looks like we're hanging in there so far. The internet's staying tough, so let's see how this works. This Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 8th of August, and it's a Wednesday. So let me check the chat room and see what we got going on there and make sure we've got somebody. I don't know who the anonymous is there. I'm thinking it might be Susie B, is what I'm guessing. So we'll see here in a little bit. Oh, dear. Let's see. There's Nan. Thank you. Nan says we're 5x5. So let's see who all else we got in there. Come on there. It looks like we may... The internet's holding on right now. But I swear, this stuff is... NM Glock, handful of anonymous there. Anon says Zia is up. That is probably... Well, I'm not sure. And Nan and Minnie and Doc and Tinker and Copper. All right. Where'd Debo go? I thought he was in there a while ago. He'll be back in a little bit, I imagine. All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, the first thing I need to do, I left the other night and I didn't tell you. Yes, I did get the coyote. It's funny that I guess because I spend so much time on the air every week. You know, I went from, did 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for I don't know how long, and then I did an hour a day, 5 days a week for I don't know how much longer. And then a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, I guess, got down to an hour twice a week with 2 hours once a week. So we're still at 4 hours a week. And that's why people, listeners, get to hear me shoot stuff once in a while. I've always been in the country, and sometimes things just happen. And so far, we're working on two coyotes and a bear that happened during the show. And last week, I did the dogs were going nuts, and there was something different about this coyote. Now, I don't know if it... I don't think it had rabies, but it just seemed like there was something different about it because the bark was different, you know, with the dogs, and they just responded differently than they usually do. So I'm not sure what was going on exactly. It was a coyote. It wasn't a crossbreed or anything. So I'm not sure exactly what happened, but anyway, it prompted me to. I hear dogs and coyotes, you know, half the time I'm sitting here, but this one was a little weird, and it was way close, so I thought I better get up and take care of it. And sure enough, I got out there. I've got the .22 Magnum, and people buy all these high-speed, low-drag Ninja Light attachments, you know, mounts for their rifles. And that's fine. You know, for certain types of guns, that's probably the only logical way to do it. But knowing me and rigging stuff the way I do sometimes when I just don't see any point in spending money, when I found out... It was 2003, and I found out that Surefire was selling flashlight mounts to mount on Picatinny rails. And when I ordered one, I found out it was nothing but half of a Weaver scope ring set. Scope rings typically come in pairs, so I got half of a pair, which is one. And that's all it was a Weaver scope. It's exactly what it was a Weaver scope. And they sell them for like $24, and I can buy them for, at that time, I don't remember what they were, you know, like 12 bucks or something like that, for two of them. So, needless to say, I was a little put out that... these people were doing this. You know, it would have been the ethical thing to do to say, you know, you can take a scope ring and make your flashlight mount, or you can get one from us for X amount of dollars. Not 24, but, you know, 10 bucks or so. They still would have made good money on it. But no, they didn't do that. So I quit buying them and started making them. Well, I didn't quit buying them. I started buying Weaver scope mount sets and using those to do a lot of the scope mounts we did on rifles and stuff. And I'd take a typical, standard, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, garden-grade scope mount, Weaver scope mount, and either find or make a good flat place on the fore end of the rifle that was parallel with the barrel, with the bore of the rifle, which is not too hard to do. Depending on the rifle, you know, it's harder with that's all that was on my AK when I put the aftermarket stock on it, the Tapco or the, what was it? Wasn't Tapco? I think it was a Tapco 4. Anyway, whatever it was, I bolted a Weaver scope mount to it, put a Weaver scope ring on it, stuck a flashlight on it, and therefore I had a flashlighted rifle. So my 22 Magnum, I have a hot little Surefire light on it. It's, I don't know, 200 lumens or something. It does real well. And I made a little spot with a Dremel tool, nice and flat, and put a Weaver scope mount on it and put that scope ring and the flashlight on it, and that's my coyote gun. That's what I take out every time I hear coyotes in the middle of the night. That's what I go get. And I'll tell you one more time, and I'm not going to get into it too deep because I can't tell you how many times that I have stopped everything to talk about the 22 Magnum. But let me just very briefly tell you that I love the 22 Magnum. Love it a lot. It does everything that I need it to do. If I could find a good, reliable little semi-automatic rifle with readily available magazines, that I would be very tempted to make that my go-to assault style rifle, being backed up, of course, by a bolt action 308 or something. But look at the soft body armor and see what it takes to stop a 22 Magnum. It's a penetrating little round. Does a great job. And got that bear out there one shot one night, and while we were, as a matter of fact, it was during Liberty Lounge, I think. I don't remember for sure. No, it wasn't either. It was on during a regular show, and I put on some music, I think, during the time that I was out there killing the bear, and then we came back and I called Game and Fish and had them on the air. I've actually got that recorded, where I was on the air with Game and Fish when I killed that bear that night. So you guys have been with me on two coyote hunts and a bear hunt. So how about them apples? All right. A&M Glock's got one of the stories of the day there. We find out that these the kids that we were talking about Monday, well, what that turned out to be was a group of Muslims. And they had kids. Standby, Copper. I'll get to you that in just a second. They had kids in there that different ages. And what led them to this place was an investigation from a kid missing from Georgia, and they think he's buried around that compound there in northern New Mexico. But they were actually training these kids, young kids, little kids, training them for school shootings, or prepping them for a school shooting. And there's Tebow. And luckily they found them. The kids were not in good shape. I mean, the whole thing was just a mess there. And so what makes me curious, Tinker said he still got that show recorded. That was so funny. That was a fun night. Well, what I wonder about is how many other places just like this are being utilized right now around the country for training kids to kill kids. It's kind of a disheartening thing, you know, and it I don't know where to go on that exactly. The biggest problem with this is probably not so much that it's happening. The problem is that the consequences, the penalties when they catch them, are not going to be nearly as severe enough, as severe as they ought to be. There is no real encouragement not to do this again. I don't know. The question that comes up on Facebook pretty frequently is, does the Constitution apply to illegal aliens, immigrants, non-Americans, you know, whatever? Well, the answer is yes. Actually, it does. And it's, we cannot pick and choose who it's going to apply to or who we apply it to and who we don't. So we can't do things to them that we wouldn't do to American citizens, because the Constitution does apply to every human being within the boundaries of this country. Unless, of course, they are incarcerated for a felony or something, then they lose some of them. But anyway, Nan or NM Glock says that one of them is a son of one of the unindicted co-conspirators, the 1993 Trade Center bombing. So he's been keeping up with that more than me. Anyway, let me get back to Copper's question there. Copper, I use the 22 Magnum, I think, is one of the most versatile rounds that you can possibly get out there. And by that I mean that you have light, fast, 28-grain explosive varmint bullets. You've got 32 grains, you know, 34, 36, 38, whatever it is, 40, 45, and 50-grain 22 Magnums. You've got solids, soft points, hollow points, and ballistic tips. Ballistic tip, what's the other? Hornady makes a, no, CCI makes a, I forgot what weight it was. Anyway, what I use typically is, I realize, hold on, let me read it to you. I've got a box I'm sitting on here. Stand by 1 second. My cord won't quite reach over there, so hold on there. All right, sorry about the dead air there. I don't like to do that, but anyway, it's my show. I'll do whatever I want to. One of my favorites is the 30-grain VMAX. Hornady makes an awesome round for the 22 Magnum. It's fast, yet still heavy enough to do the job, and I'm pretty confident that this is what I was using. I'm 95% confident that this was what was in the gun the night I killed the bear. And, of course, it wasn't a very big bear. It's not that great of a feat. I mean, it's not like I killed a grizzly bear with a slingshot or something. It was a smallish black bear, you know, 125 pounds or so. And one shot, and he walked about, I don't know, 6 or 8 feet, maybe, I don't know, 10 feet, and just tipped over. And he was dead in a hammer.
And I would have loved to get him opened up and see what that bullet did inside of him. But anyway, but that's the 22 Magnum is, you know, in some places, I think Montana, there are no caliber restrictions for hunting a lot, unless they've changed them. It's been quite a few years since I hunted up there, but there used to not be any caliber restrictions. So it was legal, actually, to hunt deer or elk with a 22 Magnum. Now, I don't think that's the greatest idea for a lot of people, but if you are sportsman enough and marksman enough, I promise you the 22 Magnum will do the job. There's Susie B. I knew she'd make it in there. I've killed, now, statute of limitations long since run out on this, so I don't care, but I've killed a lot of deer with a 22 Magnum. It's not, when I say it's not a deer gun, it doesn't mean it won't kill them. You know, we've talked about this before, where a 22 will kill a 1,000-pound hog. I've done it. I have the pictures. I have I've got the pictures of the gun, the bullet hole, the whole nine yards. And, but does that mean I would want to go hog hunting with a Ruger Mark II? No. The answer is absolutely not. But it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to have a 45-70 either. You kill, I don't know how many hundred cows I've seen, full-grown beef cows killed with a 22, some of them with 22 shorts. Does that make it a round that I would go hunt water buffalo with? No. It means all conditions were perfect. The shot was placed perfectly at very close range, and it worked well. And that was kind of the way it happened with this bear. He was, 50 or 60 yards away. And broadside, I had the light on him. He gave me a shot. I actually got him right when he was trying to just about to go over a fence. And he turned around and fell over dead. It was that simple. Now, Doc's right. I don't think it's. I think it is a specially good deer gun, especially down in Doc's part of the country where the deer dressed out weigh 30 pounds or something. 22 Magnum is an outstanding round for deer down there, but for hogs, no, not in your wildest nightmares. There's just not a good thing. If you can shoot a hog right between the eyes with a 22 or 22 Magnum, that's all it takes. Does a fine job. But you don't often get that opportunity out in the woods. So when you're standing in a corral with them, that's a whole different story. But anyway. So what was it? AZ Bound said check out the Kel-Tec CMR-30. No, I won't be doing that. I don't like anything Kel-Tec makes. That CMR-30, I think it is PMR-30, I think is what it is, not CMR-30, I believe. But whatever it is, I know what you're talking about, and I don't care for them too much. I am not a Kel-Tec fan. I was really excited about that Kel-Tec PMR-30 when it first came out, but I got over it the first time I got to handle one of them. And yeah, copper that, and the 22 Magnum for whitetails, for most whitetails, maybe not the whitetails up in Idaho so much, but all over the south, southeast, and back east, whitetails are not very big. And a well-placed heart shot, the same place you would shoot one with a 30-30 if it was a mule deer out in this part of the country, and it's more than enough gun for a whitetail. I don't know how many, I don't know if any states out there is legal for the 22 Magnum, but it damn sure ought to be because it's plenty of gun for whitetail. But I've killed a lot of mule deer with it, but it was under it's not anything where I was traipsing through the wood and jumped one out and shot him at 250 yards across a canyon with a 22 Magnum. It was usually, driving down the road and happened to see one standing, 40 yards away, and then just happened to stand there long enough to get the gun out and shoot him. So that doesn't make it a deer gun. It just means I've killed a lot of deer with a 22 mag. Hang on a minute. We might have breaking news here. Let me check and see what this is. Nope, this is not breaking news. So, okay. That can wait. All right, let's see what else we got. I'm not supposed to take a break because whoever it was, I think it was Susie B, said she was going to leave. Susie B, you're hardly here anytime anyway, so, what, you know, whatever. No, I'm kidding. It's always good to see you in here. I'm glad you made it tonight, too. Okay, Yakima Glock says the CMR-30 is the carbine version. Okay, well, I hadn't tried one of those yet. I didn't, I still don't like anything by Kel-Tec, but I'd try one. I haven't shot one yet. I don't like the PMR-30 much, but I would be interested in a little carbine version of that. What I really wish is they had a good, reliable, well-made by a reputable company, something along the lines of an AR-15 in 22 Magnum. I would dearly love that. Of course, you know the problem with that is having high-capacity magazines with a rimmed cartridge. It's more difficult than it appears to be. That's one of the things that has doomed several different types of guns. You know, H&R, Harrington and Richardson, used to have an awesome, amazing little 22 Magnum. They had 7-round magazines and 10-round magazines for them. And I have kicked myself so many times for getting rid of that gun. It was a damn sure attack driver. Good shooting little gun. For years, I had a soda straw stapled to a piece of paper that had 2 bullet holes in it. One right below the other. Neither one of them broke the sides. They were through the straw. Of course, it was close range. I did it at it might have been 30 feet or something like that. But nevertheless, it was, it didn't break either side of the straw. There was a clean round bullet hole, one about a half inch below the other through the same straw that I did with that little H&R. And I would dearly love to have it back. The doc says yes. I've never tried that SU-16. It's kind of a. I think that uses AR-15 magazines, doesn't it? It's a little 223. Anyway, let's see. All right, that's enough of that. Did you guys hear? And AZ Bound was witness to this. Up in Colorado Springs, they had an honest-to-goodness hailstorm up there. The hailstorm was so bad that it killed a couple of animals in the zoo. It killed an African vulture and a duck. And literally, absolutely, the insurance company said so, totaled some of the cars. Not just broke the windshield, totaled them. Completely beat them to pieces. These hailstones, and you look it up online, look at some of the pictures, those hailstones, many of them, lots of them, easily the size of a baseball. When you get a hailstone the size of a baseball coming down out of the sky at 90, 100 bazillion miles an hour or whatever they're following there, it puts a pretty good dent in things. But it did a lot of damage. They said before it's all over with that they could between I think they said fires in the hail. Yeah, between fires and hails, they could be just in that area up to $1 billion in damage. I think they're at 500,000 right now. One insurance company alone, a single company during this time had 11,500 claims because of the weather.
That's pretty serious. And, you know, just hiding from something like that, you can't, it's hard to imagine what it could do to you know, shingles on the roof in your vehicle and your animals, and you leave them out, and, you know, your garden, you know, any number of things out there, your greenhouse, you got a fiberglass greenhouse out there, it'd probably destroy it. You know, probably is about it. Of course it'd destroy it. So, from the looks of things, AZ Bound already has one of those CMR-30s. So, brother, it's your job to run the hell out of that gun and see what it does. Let us know after you've got, you know, 500 rounds to it, and then 1,000, and let us know if you had to do any maintenance to it other than, you know, regular stuff and cleaning it. I would try one. I don't like Kel-Tec, but I would try one just for the heck of it. But
another thing, I said I wasn't going to get in 22 Magnum, but I'm going to show you a couple of things here. There's another round, the 22 WRF. WRF, yeah, Winchester Rimfire. They don't make any guns for it, I don't think, anymore. If they do, they have a commemorative model or something like that. But that round works fine in the 22 Magnum, in revolvers and contenders and lever actions and pumps and bolt actions. Probably not a semi-automatic. It's probably not powerful enough to work the action. It would work if you want to run the action by hand, probably. But I keep getting some problems here. My internet may have just gone away. I'm not sure. I'm gonna continue to talk here and see why this did this. Let me reload this and see what happens. Anyway. Yeah, maybe that was all I wanted to say. Oh, no, that's not what all I wanted to say. I was going to say also that, you know, you go and buy, people say, well, 22 mag is so expensive. It's like, you know, these good quality rounds like this one right here in my hand, they're like $14.95 or something like that for a box of 50 rounds. Well, compared to 22s and compared to what they used to be, you know, when I was a kid, I paid, you know, $3.50 for this exact same, well, not the exact same thing, because a Hornady VMAX hadn't been invented yet, but the 40 grain, for years, all they had was 40 grain hollow point and 40 grain full metal jacket. And they were $3.50. And, it seems kind of expensive, but on the other hand, if you look at what these guns can do, if you don't just go out and blast them away just to hear the noise like you do with 22s a lot of times,
see if my chat room just went away. There, it's coming back.
This is still a pretty good bargain. You get 100 rounds for $30. That's not a bad price if you know the capabilities of this round. It is an awesome, awesome round. It's got really good, quite sufficient 200 yard accuracy. You know, anything at 100 yards, it shoots, you know, you get a good quality, decent gun and a good scope on it. It's not hard to find 22 Magnums that shoot under an inch at 100 yards. So you can do just about anything with it that you think you're man enough to do out to, you know, 250 or so. I did take, what was that little Kel-Tec that, was a, what was that gun? I think it was a 22 Magnum. I don't remember what it was. I just better shut up until I look up the video and see what it was. Anyway, we had something out there. I think it was a Kel-Tec. We shot it out to 500, and we were able to recover every shot. Grouping wasn't great at 500, but we were able to account for every shot out there.
So I'll look up that video and see if I remember what it is.
Okay, let's move on here. I'm babbling and talking nonsense here. So, yeah, I used to think I was going to set an alarm so I wouldn't miss my show, so I wouldn't forget. And then Nan started setting her alarm. So then she texted me and said, I set my alarm. I remembered your show. And I said, well, good. So did I now. That's good. So you set the alarm and I'll remember the show. There was, I think we've had this discussion before also. But Nan was talking to a friend and she kind of frantically texted me and said, you know, this friend says that that you can, you know, she sells this CBC oil, and she said it claims that it's false, that you can't conceal carry if you use medical marijuana. She claims you can have a CCW permit and use, but realizes on a federal level it's illegal. So the way that this is printed here, the way it's written, you can do anything. You can run red lights, you can rob banks, you can kill people, as long as you don't get caught. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it legal, but if you don't get caught, yes, you can do it. And that's what this girl's doing. It depends on the state. In Arizona, we don't care. You can buy a gun. You can own a gun. You can buy ammo. You can have a concealed carry permit. You can do all of that stuff if you have a medical marijuana card. But the feds don't allow it. It's still a felony on the federal level. Can you do it? Yes, you can. But if you get caught, it's a felony. Some states are not like Arizona. So this girl is, I'm assuming she's an Arizona resident, I don't know. But I hate blanket statements where she says, yes, you can get a CCW. Yes, you can do this and do that. Well, yeah, you can in certain states. So always be careful how you word things. Blanket statements typically are kind of dangerous, and they're at least they're misleading to people. The doc I did too. I held off the bridge. I was waiting for Paul Revere and them to get their ducks in a row and get over there and spell me. But as long as I could, hold them off for that .22 Magnum, it would do the job. That's right. Let's see, and she brought up another interesting thing. Is I told her that it's I told her what the legalities of it was. I said if you get caught by federal authorities buying a gun, owning a gun, handling a gun, somebody else's gun, ammo, carrying a gun in any fashion, you are going to jail. But, and she said, well, she agrees it's not worth it. Taking prescriptions is kind of great, right? Well, no, not really. There are certain kinds of things that you have to be a little bit careful with. But in buying a gun, I don't believe there was any question on there that really, I don't remember for sure, but I don't think there was anything that addressed that. She says, what about having to take the sleeping pill? Well, ATF's thing specifically mentions marijuana and illegal drugs. In the letter that they sent out to confirm this, to clarify it, they said, further, if you are aware that the potential transferee, now this is a letter out to dealers, if you are aware that the potential transferee is in possession of a card authorizing the possession and use of marijuana under state law, then you have reasonable cause to believe that the person is an unlawful user of a controlled substance. As such, you may not transfer firearms or ammunition to the person, even if the person answered no to question 11E on the 4473. So, Nan's in the chat room and says that the person was a Pennsylvania resident. I don't know Pennsylvania laws up there. But if state law allows it and you can do it, yeah, you can do it until you can't. You can do it until you get caught. If the feds catch you, it is still illegal. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, what state you're in, or who your daddy is. It's still going to be illegal, and it's still going to be a felony. So, agree with it or not, doesn't matter. You're still going to go to jail. So, that's the name of that tune. That's how it works. All right, let's see. I had some other things here. By the way, I am in the process right now. There's a couple people there that I don't know if there's any of them in the chat room tonight. But let me see. I've got the deals right here in front of me. That's Northwest Heavy. And this is another guy that took the class up in Washington, the last one I did. But I am in the process right now of building dry practice kits. I sent some out yesterday. So for those of you that have been waiting, keep waiting just a little tiny bit longer, and I'll have you fixed up. I'm working on them. I got a bunch of trigger bars ready this morning. And so I'll probably put together some, the next ones I ship out will probably be Monday. And these people that took the class in Washington that paid for a kit and haven't gotten it yet, they will be sent out no later than Monday. And I apologize once again for the delay. It's so often that I have trouble getting trigger bar. Sometimes it's connectors, but I've figured out a way around that now. Matter of fact, I just learned it 3 days ago of how to use different style connectors to make these dry practice kits. So that won't slow me down anymore. But trigger bars sometimes can. And I may be bringing back the 45 and 10 millimeter dry practice kit. I think I've figured out a way to test those without having a gun present to test it. So those may be coming out again here in the very, very near future. Okay, let's look here. Well, that's an important deal, but I'll worry about that when I get done here. So let's check this. And where is my, there it is. Okay, we got that one taken care of. There's the hail. We got that done. Here is just real quick. I don't like this story here, and I don't want to spend any time on it. But some off-duty cops here, New Orleans, believe it or not. Yeah, disbelieve it. That's the way New Orleans is. Two off-duty New Orleans Police Department officers were arrested Tuesday. This was 2 weeks ago. Not quite 2 weeks ago. Both of them are rookies. Reportedly accused a man. They were arrested for attacking and beating a Louisiana National Guardsman. They accused the man of not being American or a veteran. According to the guy that was beat, Jorge Gomez, he told me I was a fake American. He said his face was badly bruised and stitches in his forehead, and I wasn't in the National Guard either. I told him I served a tour of duty in Iraq. Guy's 36 years old, taken to the hospital and released with cuts, bruises, and a swollen face. He also needed stitches in his forehead. Boy, that's going to cost the New Orleans Police Department. An investigation by the Public Integrity Bureau, that's a new one, determined that these two cops initiated the incident that occurred in the Mid-City Yacht Club, according to police superintendent. Members of our department are expected to comply with the law and adhere to the highest standards of professional conduct, whether on or off duty. I couldn't agree with that more. Two officers were charged with simple battery, and the New Orleans Police Department has also begun a termination process. So they're rookies far as much promotion as they're going to get, I guess. Both officers were still in the probationary period that follows graduation from the academy. They could reportedly face hate crime charges. And I don't know. This just, it just reinforces what we've said. I said, I read it Monday, you know, I said, you can't deny the fact that there's becoming more and more police officers out there that do this kind of stuff. And don't, I'm going to say for the 1,000,000th time on this show, I am not anti-cop. But I am damn sure anti-abuse of authority. I am anti-corruption in government in any form at any level, from the dog catcher to the President of the United States. You know, we have a certain degree, it should be a high degree, of deserved trust in these offices and officers and agents and agencies where we we just don't expect to have to fear this kind of stuff. You know, most people when you see a cop pull up behind you, what do you start doing? You know, the average citizen out there, first thing you know, you look at your speedometer, and you try to drive straighter than you already are. You don't want to weave at all. You try to sneak that seatbelt on without them seeing you. And you know, we shouldn't have that kind of fear over seeing a cop in a rearview mirror. Your heart rate shouldn't go up, and your respiration shouldn't accelerate or increase, whatever, because you see a cop in the rearview mirror. Yeah, to take an anti-jack booted thug. That's right. That's exactly right. And the trouble is, the trouble with the good cops is there are so few of them that are willing to take down the bad cops. Which, you know, are they still good cops if they won't do that? When they see cops mistreating somebody and they just turn a blind eye and don't say anything and then feel bad about it a month later and go and tattle on them. You know, that's, these people ought to be taking these people down right then. And there's so much of this that happens regularly. And the department sticks up. Now, granted, sometimes it's just so blatant and so unmistakable and there's just no way around it. You know, it's like the, there's no telling what that judge would have done in the Bundy trial, if Wooten hadn't come up with that whistleblower hadn't come up with the email to everybody and the proof, the evidence that he had. There's no telling what would have happened to the Bundys. You can believe that, you can believe whatever you want, but I believe that God inspired Agent Wooten to do what he did. And did you see how fast things turned around after that email came out? That document came out. It was instant. It was a matter of, I don't even know if it was a matter of hours. When they found out that they were what they were doing there, and there's no way around it. There's no way to say, well, I feared for my life. Didn't work this time. It works often, but it didn't work that time. And, of course, they got their ass handed to them, and they're not taking it lightly. They're still trying to, yeah, that's right. Copper says they just have to, they're not abiding by their oath. The oath means nothing to them. I said this the other day to somebody. I said, they take an oath to the Constitution, and they don't even know what the Constitution says. I think that there should be an absolute minimum of an 8-hour class, if not 40 hours. I understand that there's going to be budget restraints and stuff that would keep that from happening. But there should be at least an 8-hour class on key parts of the Constitution before you even waste the money and the time to go to the academy. And you should be tested on it. And if you're going to take an oath, I want to know if you know what you're taking an oath to and for. Because if you do these kind of things after taking that oath, you are a liar. You're a scumbag. If you are not going to abide by that oath and conduct yourself accordingly in the way that you give tickets and treat people and conduct yourself, then you're a scumbag. You don't deserve any respect. And when you get into trouble and you wonder why the citizens won't help you, well, that's why. The good cops could turn this around if they would. All right, let's see what else we got here. Hang on a minute, my crystal ball faded out in here. This is kind of interesting here. They've had a little struggle in Ohio with Ohio Governor John Kasich has refused to sign a bill that waives the fees for active duty military and veterans who apply for a concealed handgun permit. He's done this in protest over a gun control deal. So he allowed SB 81 to become law without his signature on Friday, arguing that lawmakers missed the chance to enact gun control measures this session in wake of a high profile school shooting. Talking about Parkland, Florida. So, it's the press secretary said that while the bill cutting fees for service members and vets has merit and the governor's support, he believes that the next piece of gun-related legislation that he needs to sign, needs to be the package of common sense reforms that have been introduced and blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Washington is just about dead. Something needs to happen in Washington, and it needs to happen soon. They are apparently going to lose 10 to 12 Republican seats. They will almost certainly be taken over by Democrats. And when they do, they lose their gun rights? No. Gun rights don't go away because God gave them to you. But you're going to lose your ability to exercise those rights without getting in trouble. What's going to happen? I don't know what exactly is going to happen up there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are pissed about it. I don't know how many people are going to leave. If anybody's going to leave, I'm confident that there'll be some people that will just abandon ship and move to
move to Idaho or something. Matt Shea won his seat back, no surprise. He has an extremely loyal following up there. And thankful for that. But he's going to be fighting a long, hard battle by himself. He's not going to have a whole lot of help up there to get this taken care of. So it's going to be interesting to see. We'll probably see it before the end of this year. I think that there's going to be some, if we lose all those Republicans, I say we, I do think we, because I'm very at home up there. I've got a lot of friends, a lot of brothers up there, and sisters, as a matter of fact. If we lose those seats, I don't know what's going to take place up there. It's going to be interesting, though. Oh, Shea, yeah, that's right. I think Shea just won the primary. That's right. I don't know what I was thinking about. We still have to go to in November. I was just excited for him winning the primary. That's right. Susie B., thank you for correcting me on that. That's absolutely correct. So, and Copper's in the chat room and says he's so glad he's retired now. It's all about statistics and a little to do with helping folks with quality of life issues. And I'm talking about me. I would be ashamed at what, knowing that I would stood for the Constitution, did my best to serve the people, to protect people when I could, regardless of what Gonzalez versus Castle Rock says, and then retire and see what happens year after year after year. Little piece at a time, little piece one year and little piece another, and we see these so many cops at so many levels that are not abiding by that oath. And it's shameful. But I will never, ever lose my respect for the institution itself, for law enforcement, for police departments, but I do very much lose respect for a lot of the individuals that are in these departments. But that's all probably going to come to a screeching halt one of these days. We'll see what happens after Civil War 2.0 and take it from there. Oh, well, I don't know if that's ever going to happen either. People are still too comfortable. You know, this is not going to happen until it's not going to happen no matter how many laws are passed and no matter how many people get pissed off and inconvenienced and broke and everything else. It's not going to be until the EBT cards quit working and your ATM cards quit working and the retirement checks quit coming in and all that kind of. When people start hurting, not just when they're inconvenienced, when they hurt, when they really hurt, you'll start seeing something happen. They're not hurting yet. Inconvenienced a little from time to time. But when they start getting hungry and can't feed themselves, when they start losing their homes and their retirements, their bank accounts, have to hawk everything they've got to try to get by, when they really start hurting, you better start loading magazines because it won't be long. I'm out of here. I'll see you Friday night for Liberty Lounge, and I surely do appreciate you guys joining me tonight. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation.
let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.